you can see it from here. Why don't you stay and maybe join in the fun now? The show has begun.
Here's Dick Bentley and Jimmy Edwards will be on hand for the next 30 minutes with Wallace Eaton, Alma Cogan, June Whitfield, Herbert Malkin, and a keynote, all inviting you to...
Jim.
Yes, Bent?
Jim, I've been asked to approach you on a matter of some delicacy. Concerns a lady.
Wacko.
She's very keen on you, Jim. She's a lady of some maturity, was already once embarked upon the seas of matrimony. The moment she's being repainted for a fresh cruise. How do you feel about it, Jim?
Seasick. Look here, Bentley, I've told you this before. My personal private life has nothing to do with you whatsoever. It's a matter purely between myself and the newspapers.
Now, just a moment. You know very well that I have no desire to push my nose in.
I have a very great desire to push your nose in.
Don't be hasty, Jim. I tell you, this old widow, this mature lady of the world, she's really the sort of person everybody says you should marry.
Listen, I'm perfectly capable of managing my own life. I'm not a half witch, you know. Just because I'm not engaged, it doesn't mean I'm vacant.
Jimmy, I think I know you as well as anybody. After all, aren't I your oldest friend?
Yes, there's friends I've known longer, but you're the oldest.
Thank you. Well, I know that you need a more mature type of mate.
Bentley, you're extolling the virtues of this widow, but you haven't got around to the feature that most attracts a red-blooded man like myself. Has she got any money?
Yes, she has a small private income from the government, plus the cheap tobacco coupons that go with it. Yes, honestly, Jim, you'll make a very happy couple.
Bentley, I mistrust this concern for my happiness. Whenever your voice gets that ring of sincerity, I know that someone, somewhere, is going to get lumbered.
Jim, life has made you cynical.
Yes.
I just like helping my fellow men. After all, what are we put here for?
We're put here to give the orchestra time to sort out the music for Alma Cogan's song. Look, Bentley, if this widow is such a catch, why don't you marry her?
Oh, I've got too many responsibilities, Jim, you know. I've got my mother to look after, you see, and until I can do something about her, I can't afford it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, well, you see, my mother's a widow, and she depends
on me. A widow? Bentley! Just a minute. What's the name of this woman you're pushing at me?
Oh, names are unimportant, Jim. After all, it doesn't matter what...
Bentley, what is the name of this woman?
But, Jimmy, there must be hundreds of widows called Bentley. It doesn't...
Treachery!
Jimmy, would you strike your son-in-law?
Come here!
In the shoemaker's shop, this refrain would never stop as he passed away, working all the day. At his bench there was he, just as busy as a bee, little time to lose with the boots and shoes. But his heart went pop inside the little shop when a lovely girl set him all the world. She had come to choose some pretty dancing shoes, and he heard her say in a charming way, "Shoes to set my feet a dancing, 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 dancing all the day. Shoes to set my feet a dancing, dancing, dancing all my cares away." But she danced, danced, danced as though she were in trance, like a spinning top, all around the shop. On her dainty feet, she whirled into the street, and he heard her say, as she danced away, "Shoes to set my feet a-dancing, dancing, dancing, dancing all the day. Shoes to set my feet a-dancing, dancing, dancing all my cares away."
Sickening, sir. Absolutely sickening. These ceaseless assaults on the susceptibilities of sensitive citizens are simply symptoms of a sick society.
Oh, keep talking, Mr. Disgusted. You're doing the carnation in my buttonhole a power ago.
I intend to keep talking, sir. What are they doing about mayonnaise?
Oh, they're still playing it.
Mayonnaise, sir.
Oh, yes.
You answer me this, sir. Why is it that they've designed mayonnaise bottles so that when you upend them over your plate, either nothing comes out at all, or the whole bottle full gollops out over one rack?
Well, it's obvious it's a question of the neck size. You want to take it up with customs and neck size.
Now, look, sir, you answer me this.
Yes.
There's under 20 parade programs the BBC put on for the youth of the country. Now, why do they make anyone listening who's over 20 feel that he's 100 years old?
Yes. Those youth programs. Dunhill, you're not doing anything for the minute. Tell the listeners something about them. Go on.
Well, sir, there's usually a couple of very thoughtful teenagers who are steered by an adult chairman through an earnest debate on subjects affecting youth. In fact, one such debate is already in progress, so let's go over and join them.
And he says to himself, now, if I play my cards right, I'll very likely...
We're on the air. Well, listeners, I have two young people with me, Tom and Gwendolyn, and our first subject to debate this evening is, should youth clubs stay open all night? Tom?
Mr. Chairman, I would like to point out that though I myself have never been out hunting, I understand that the fox enjoys it himself.
What's that got to do with it? Oh, you oaf. Next question in this completely unrehearsed program. Are blood sports cruel? We're on youth clubs now.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Mr. Chairman, speaking on behalf of the girls of my youth club, I want to say it was a wonderful place until it was raided. I mean, speak as you find, especially the Rambles. I do believe it is up to us to try to keep the British standard of living rising.
Oh. That's a good point, Gwendolyn. Now, you, Tom, put your comb away, lad. What about the boys in your club?
Mr. Chairman, as far as it concerns I, myself, would have them all shot with other vermin.
We're still on youth club! You're talking about fox hunting, we're on youth clubs. For your information, that's my foot you're playing footsie with underneath the table. Now, Gwendolyn, would you agree that, ashtray on your left beer, not the polished table. Would you agree youth clubs are an incentive?
Mr. Chairman, the damage done to hen coops by...
I'll wrap up, pocket dick! He's a dead loss, he is. Gwendolyn, dear.
I want to say that a great deal depends on the way the club is run. I know that our youth leader, Mr. Turnish, was grand fun till somebody blew the gas. Surely, that is the democratic way.
Well put, dear. I think we can sum up now. We've had two points of view. One from Gwendolyn representing our girls, and the other from Flash Harry on the left here. We can hope that this discussion was heard by the Ministry of Education officials. These officials are keen, they are willing, they are eager to help.
And what is more, Mr. Chairman, the huntsmen tell me they breed like rabbits.
Tonight's talking point. Once again, we meet the Glunts, our family of ordinary people bravely facing life. Today, their talking point is, should a young couple spend their honeymoon alone, or should they go with each other? Over to the Glunts.
Time's getting on. We really must start discussing the honeymoon.
Yes, eh?
Have you thought about the honeymoon at all, Ron?
Only once, eh? I fell off my bike.
Ron, we've got to decide where we'll go. What about Brinton? They say that's very cosmopolitan.
No, Eth, I don't think my dad would like Brinton.
Your dad? What's he got to do with it?
I never go to the seaside without my dad, Eth.
But, Ron, I'll be there this time.
I know, Eth, but it's not the same as having your own family.
Oh, Ron, I'm not going on a honeymoon with your... your dad along?
But, F, three is more company at the seaside. You can't play beach cricket without a wicket-keeper.
But it's our honeymoon. I don't want to play beach cricket.
No?
Ron, you can't take your dad on our honeymoon. Well, you know him and his remarks. Oh,
no. Oh, now, don't cry, beloved.
No.
Look, we needn't all stay at the same hotel. We'll book a double room at one hotel and a single room at another.
Well, that might be possible.
Of course, yep. Then Dad and I could meet you on the beach after breakfast. Don't cry, beloved. You know it only makes me cry.
Hello, hello. I won't disturb you if you're enjoying yourselves. Oh, Ron, do you know where your mother's got to? I must find her. The dustbins won't carry her out.
Mr. Glum, I've just heard about your coming on the honeymoon with us.
Oh, Ron, you told her. And I was planning it as a surprise.
Mr. Glum, do you think it's right for yourself to intrude in what is generally regarded as a twosome occasion?
Well, yes, I'm doing it for you. You'll thank me. I'll tell you quite honest, Ron is a misery at the seaside. He loses his sandals. You can't get him away from the vulgar postcard kiosk. He can never remember the tent number he left his clothes in.
Dad. Dad, don't.
Well, that lady in number 63 had every right to call the beach inspector. Well, you see, F, I'm doing you a favour.
Mr. Glum, I appreciate your intentions, but, well, this is a honeymoon. And,
look, F.
You know, it's
may
not
I?
Like... Well...
May I?
It's different.
May I, F? If you don't want me to come, just say so. Believe me, I'll understand.
I don't want you to come.
But I don't understand. 20 years I've taken my baby boy away in the summer.
Well, why not take Mrs. Glum away this year?
Oh, don't talk wet. I want a holiday.
Why don't you, Mr. Glum? Some women appreciate little things like a holiday after 20 years without one.
Take me wife with me?
Yes.
I do believe you're serious. I wonder. You don't mean to take her away for the full week, of course.
Yes, Dad. Why not?
You know, there's a certain novelty about the idea what appeals to me. Cool. Wouldn't the old dear get a surprise when I tell her, eh? Mama! Mama, I'm taking you away for a week's holiday! Oh, well. Perhaps it wasn't quite the right moment to give her a sudden surprise. I just remembered where she was.
Where, Mr. Glum?
Getting a mangle down from the loft.
Jumbo, Jumbo!
Jumbo, Bada, how are you?
Security, too.
Oh, my big amica.
Jumbo, happy meeting you. Jumbo, that's how do you do. Jumbo, it's a greeting you. We'll get you swept on Zanzibar. Jumbo, when you say hello. Jumbo, also when you go. Jumbo, wish you need to go. They say it's west of Zanzibar. You see, you'll always be a pleasure. A lovely pleasure for my memory. See, you'll always be a sorrow. And for tomorrow, Jumbo, happy meeting you. Jumbo, that's how do you do. Jumbo, it's a greeting you. Forget your sweat of Zanzibar. Jumbo, happy meeting you. Jumbo, that's how do you do. Jumbo, it's a greeting you. Forget your sweat of Zanzibar. Jumbo, Jumbo, Jumbo.
Anybody.
Walter!
Three more brandies and soda, please. Say, Edward, you heard this series the BBC are doing, one called Vienna, City of Romance. Oh, those Viennese must have been a very romantic lot.
Yes, very romantic, your Grace. Walked round all day with their heads in the clouds and their tails in the Vienna woods.
Do you think the old time Vienna really was so gay and cheery?
Surely your Grace knows the old Viennese set up this sort of thing. I am Johann Strauss. Papa Johann, they call me, for I am a lovable old boy. The story I am going to tell you is about my beloved Vienna. Vienna, where everything is in waltz time, and even the telephone number of the police station is Whitehall 123123. This story is of two young people in love, and it starts in the Hofbräu, where a gay ball is in progress with everyone wearing masks.
My beautiful master enchantress, you waltz divinely. May a poor student take your arm for supper?
Why take my arm, sir, when there is salami sausage for all?
Then, would you do me the privilege of sharing half a yard of salami with me? If we station ourselves at either end, we can both nibble inward till our lips meet.
What can I say but yes? For this is Vienna, where nights are gay and love holds sway.
And one does not drop a clanger by sharing a banger. Besides, a little does she know I am not a poor student. I am really Crown Prince Otto Holstein Schnitzel, last of the Habsburg.
Oh, what rapture to be in Vienna, whooping sausages in waltz time. Aside, little does he know, I am not a high-born lady. I'm really a poor waitress.
Little do either of them know that salami's been hanging around the kitchen for months. But this was Vienna, and they were in love. All night they danced, waltzing, waltzing, high on a cloud of garlic. Then at dawn came the time to unmask. All over the ballroom came cries of surprise as the dancers gazed into the faces of those whom they'd been parceling all night.
You! Blimey, Sir White!
While from a bench in the shrubbery...
Please, let me take off your Mickey Mouse mask. Please. I'm sure you look just as pretty underneath. Let me take it off.
Oh, no. Please, don't take the Mickey. And do not remove your mask, either.
But why not?
Let this night remain a perfect memory. Let me remember you as I see you now wearing your Boris Karloff mask. Besides, little does he know that I'm falling in love.
Little does she know he's not wearing a mask. But this is Vienna, and they are in love.
But no, no, please don't run away like that. Come back. Oi, you've left 4 inches of salami.
But little Gerda was gone. Gone from poor Otto with just a smile and a waltz. It was to me that the dashing young Prince Otto dashed.
Please, Sir Fastrass, help me find her. My father, the Archduke, has always had a high regard for your family. He said he'd be lost without his Strasses.
No. No, your papa, to me, he was so wonderful. But, Highness, you must tell me more about this girl. What did she look like?
Mickey Mouse.
Then we shall need some cheese.
No. No, no, I mean she was wearing a Mickey Mouse mask. I could not see her face, but I noticed she had a dimple on her knee.
Ah, those low-necked dresses.
Oh, but I would recognize her voice anywhere. I must find her.
Highness, is this wise? You are an aristocrat, a prince of the blood, while this girl, she may be a bit... she may be a bit... well, she may be a bit...
I do not care. Come, Pavarjoan, brush up your moustache and we'll star the city. Come, Father John. Finish your meal. We'll leave. It is no use. For 7 weeks we have questioned every girl with violet eyes, but no luck.
You speak for yourself. I've been using my Vienna loaf.
No, no, it is hopeless. Let's pay the waitress and give up the search. Oh, miss.
Coming. Let's see. Two apple strudel on toast and a pot of hock for two.
Wait. That voice. Miss, speak again. Say something.
You've got your elbow in the sauerkraut.
Yes. Papa to she. January has suddenly turned to June. Oh, fair enchantress, do you not recognize me?
No.
At the master ball, we shared a salami, and you met me halfway.
Oh, you? Aside. Oh, heart, stop pounding. Oh, knees, be steady. Oh, pulse, stop racing. And the rest of you, the best of luck.
But, Highness. Oh, Highness, what is this? The girl to whom you, a prince, has given his love is nothing but a waitress. Ah, the plot is sickening.
It's absolutely sickening, sir.
All right, Wallace.
It's the same plot of the student prince.
Yes, Wallace.
The Tunbridge Wells Amateur Operatic Society did it for the Spitfire.
Yes, yes, Wallace. Yes, Wallace. Yes, Wallace. Or, as we say in Vienna, ja, Wallace. Aside, this man Eaton, he'll have to go.
A prince? You? A prince?
Oh, my sweet one, you are weeping. Here, dry your eyes on this.
Highness, tuck your shirt back in.
Otto, this can never be. You see, we are poles apart.
We're not. We're Austrians together. Together, my dear.
No, Otto, no. As long as you're a prince, our love is doomed. What was that?
It's the Franco-Prussian War. Charge!
So Prince Otto went to war, and wherever the fighting was thickest, there he was, looking for where the fighting was thinnest.
The war altered everything. The face of Europe changed. Frontiers went into the melting pot. The result?
Huge frontiers. At the end of the war, there was a revolution, and the monarchy was replaced by a panel game. I was in desperate straits. If it hadn't been for the food I was eating, I would have starved.
But after the war, I, Papa Johann, taught Vienna to waltz again. And it was to me that sad little Gerda brought her heartbreak.
Oh, Papa Johann, will I ever find my Otto again?
Of course, for this is Vienna, and et cetera, et cetera. We will search for him together. Here, finish your meal, and I will summon the waiter. Waiter.
I'm coming, sir.
The bill. Madame ordered half a yard of salami for old Lang Syne.
Salami. Salami. That's my girl, salami.
Otto. It's Otto. I have found my love at last.
And so, like all of Papa Johann's stories, this one had a happy ending. Otto had Gerda. Gerda had Otto, and I had the rest of the salami. Good night, Vienna.
Augmented BBC Review Orchestra bring our recorded show to a close. Those involved were Dick Bentley and Professor Jimmy Edwards, encouraged by Wallace Eaton, Al McCogan, June Whitfield, Herbert Mostyn, and the keynote. Frank Muir and Dennis Norden wrote the script, and the program was produced by Charles Maxwell. We all invite you to tune in again next week and
say
thank you.